From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo states pandemic pushing all parties to work in synergy. Vice President Maruf Amin affirms destruction of Quran not freedom of expression. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news. With the difficult conditions impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic have offered valuable experience since they have force all levels of governments to strive in a synergy towards a common goal. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo during the National Coordination Meeting for the Transitions of COVID-19 Handling and National Economic Recovery PCPEN. He lauded all ministries and agencies that have worked hard over the past 3 years of the pandemic. However, he emphasized that all those difficulties have provided a great experience to all levels of government. The pandemic has encouraged all governors, district heads, mayors, military, police, as well as governmental institutions related to public order to collaborate in mobilizing the community to get vaccinated. Vice President Maruf Amin has emphasized that recent incidents involving the destructions of the Quran in Sweden and the Netherlands cannot be condoned as freedom of expression. He said at a press conference at the University of Indonesia in Jakarta on Thursday that the government has taken action to minimize the potential problems that might arise in Indonesia, which has the largest Muslim population in the world, due to the incidents in the two European countries. He perceived that the Indonesian government has made diplomatic notes to the governments of Sweden and the Netherlands regarding these incidents and will summon their ambassadors, because these incidents may trigger social conflict. If the two incidents are not addressed immediately, they may trigger conflict in other countries. The Indonesian government is consistently making efforts to prevent any conflicts from arising out of insulting religion. South Korean Minister of Foreign Affairs Park Jin said that cooperation in the field of culture between Indonesia and South Korea continues to improve. In fact, in 2023, the South Korean government plans to improve Indonesian cultures in South Korea. This was conveyed in virtual remarks at the event Indonesia-Korea Morning Talk in Jakarta on Thursday. The event was held to celebrate 50 years of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and South Korea. Minister Park Jin also expressed his hope that all parties to participate in encouraging broader cultural cooperation between Indonesia and South Korea.
One of my big plans for this year is to promote Indonesian culture in Korea. And I ask everyone attending today's roundtable to be champions of deeper, wider cultural cooperation and exchanges between our two countries.
Minister Park Jin also hopes that holding a series of celebrations for the 50th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and South Korea can underline the importance of cooperation of both countries as well as raise all existing potentials. India and Indonesia, close maritime neighbors, which enjoy comprehensive strategic partnership, draw their source of friendship from the shared linkage of trade, culture, language, and art over 2,000 years. In current times, these bonds have further strengthened in political and geopolitical contacts and the fields of economy, defense, and science. This was conveyed by the Indian ambassador to Indonesia in Timor-Leste, Manoj Kumar Bharti, at the reception of India's 74th Republic Day in Jakarta on Thursday evening. In the field of trade, Ambassador Manoj Kumar said the total bilateral trade between the two countries in 2022 reached $30.37 billion.
India and Indonesia signed a trade deal worth ₹1 billion on the sidelines of trade, investment and industry ministerial meeting in Nusa Dua, Bali, which has reaffirmed the commitment of both countries to reach trade, bilateral trade of $50 billion in the very near future. I am happy to share that Expo November 2022, the total bilateral trade between both countries have reached $30.37 billion in the first 11 months as per the Indonesian Statistical Department statistics, which shows a nearly 60% growth in bilateral trade over the same period in 2021.
In his remarks, Ambassador Manoj Kumar said the year 2022 has been quite momentous for Indonesia and India. In November, during the G20 leader summits in Bali, Indonesian President Joko Widodo passed the presidency to Prime Minister of India, Sri Narendra Modi. He further said India has offered to Indonesia to host the next major conference of No Money for Terror, or NMFT, in Jakarta. The third NMFT was held in New Delhi in November 2022 and discussed various aspects of tourism financing, emerging technologies and international cooperation to address challenges in combating terror financing with 88 countries. Indonesian Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi welcomed the visit of his Kenya counterpart Felix Lama. Both of them met to sign a letter of intent for cooperation in the aviation sector as one of the strategic steps to tighten the partnership. The visit of the Transportation Minister of Guinea was a follow-up to the meeting between the Indonesian ambassador in Dakar, Senegal, and the Guinean government in September 2022. Besides needing to modernize its transportation sector, Guinea is also interested in collaborating in the air transportation sector. Meanwhile, Minister Budi Karya said in a written statement quoted from Tempo on Friday that cooperation opportunities with Guinea cover not only in the air sector, but also land, sea and railways transport, as well as human resources in the air transportation sector. Let's move on to the international news, where Israeli forces in the West Bank killed 10 Palestinians on Thursday. Officials in the occupied territories said 9 of them in a raid the Israeli military described as a counter-terrorism operation. The bloodiest day in the West Bank in years erupted during a raid on the crowded refugees camp in the northern city of Jenin, where gunshots rang through the streets and smoke billowed from burning streets barricades. The Palestinian health ministries put the death toll from the clashes at 9, including a woman, adding that 20 people were wounded before the Israeli forces withdrew mid-morning. The military said Israeli forces came under fire during a counter-terrorism operation to apprehend an Islamic Jihad terror squad and shot several enemy combatants. The US dollar dropped against the yen on Friday as traders bet a hawkish pivot from the Bank of Japan was still in the offing. The dollar also surged close to a 9-month low versus the euro amid market expectation the European Central Bank next week will implement a rate hike twice as big as the Federal Reserve's. The U.S. currency has dropped 0.43% to 129.65 yen in early trading after data shows consumers' price inflation in Tokyo accelerating to a nearly 42-year peak this month, ramping up pressures on the BOJ to step away from stimulus. However, that was still well away from the 7.5-month through a 127.215 reach last week, as expectation built then for the central bank to tweak policy. When BOJ officials voted unanimously on January 18 to keep stimulus setting unchanged, the currency's pair bounced as high as 131.58. Well, listener, now let's move on to commentary for today on the Russo-Ukrainian war shows no signs of ending yet.
Today's commentary is on Russo-Ukrainian war shows no signs of ending yet. It's been almost a year since Russia started invading Ukraine on February 24, 2022. However, until now, there has been no sign that the two sides will end the war soon. It seems that the Russo-Ukrainian war will last a long time in line with the threats of former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev regarding nuclear war and the decision of the United States and Germany to send dozens of battle tanks to Ukraine. The U.S. will send 31 M1 Abrams battle tanks to Ukraine, while Germany will allow the delivery of 14 Leopard 2A6 tanks. Overall, France, Britain, the United States, Poland, Germany, the Netherlands, and Sweden will send hundreds of tanks and heavy armored vehicles to fortify Ukraine as it enters a new phase of the war and attempts to break through Russian lines. This, of course, sparked Russian anger. Former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev recently warned the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO, that Moscow's defeat in Ukraine could trigger a nuclear war. Medvedev, who serves as deputy chair of the Russian Security Council, emphasized that nuclear powers have never lost in major conflicts. Medvedev also said military alliances and other Western defense leaders should weigh the risk of their policies. He emphasized that the defeat of nuclear countries in the conventional war could trigger a nuclear war. The Kremlin was quick to back up Medvedev's statement, saying it fully complied with Moscow's principles. Medvedev's statement immediately received criticism from the Secretary General of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, Jens Stoltenberg. According to Stoltenberg, Russia's nuclear rhetoric is completely irresponsible and dangerous. He said Russia should know that a nuclear war can never be won and therefore should not happen. Stoltenberg also emphasized that NATO will continue to monitor what Russia is doing and react if necessary. The Russo-Ukrainian war, which also dragged the involvement of NATO members, has claimed thousands of lives, lost countless property, and has had an impact on the global economy. Coupled with the pandemic that has hit the world, making an already bad situation will of course be even worse. Sun Tzu, a Chinese military general who lived in the period of 544 to 496 BC, known through his book, The Art of War, once said, "There is no example of a country benefiting from a prolonged war." This remark is very relevant to what is currently happening. Both Russia and Ukraine and their supporters should realize, let alone a prolonged one, will only harm all parties. Not only those who are fighting, it doesn't matter who wins, but also other countries around the world will feel the effects. That was commentary.
Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
I'll start today in history with January 27, 1973. Paris Peace Accords officially ends the Vietnam War. The Paris Peace Agreement on January 27, 1973 officially ended the Vietnam War. On that day, the governments of the Democratic Republic of Vietnam, or North Vietnam, the Republic of Vietnam, South Vietnam, and the United States of America, as well as the Provisional Revolutionary Government representing the revolutionaries of South Vietnam, signed an agreement to end the war and restore peace to Vietnam. The principal negotiators of the agreement were United States National Security Advisor Henry Alfred Kissinger and Vietnam Politburo member Lê Duc Thu. They were both awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for their efforts, although Lê Duc Thu refused to accept it. Turning to 1981, the Tampo Mass sinks in the Java Sea, 431 people die. The motor passenger ship Tampo Mas II is a passenger ship owned by PLNI or Indonesian National Shipping, which caught fire and sank around the Masalimbo Islands in the Java Sea. The ship, captained by Captain Abdul Rifai, was traveling from Jakarta to Sulawesi. The ship sank on January 27, 1981. This accident caused the deaths of hundreds of passengers on the ship. I'll end today in history with January 27, 2008. The second president of Indonesia, Suharto, dies. After undergoing treatment at the Central Pertamina Hospital for 23 days, Suharto was declared dead on January 27, 2008, at around 1 in the afternoon due to multiple organ failure. The official announcement of President Suharto's death was made by the presidential doctor's team together with Suharto's daughters Siti Hardianti Rukmana and Siti Hediati Haryadi. Suharto died at the age of 86 and was buried at Astana Giri Bangun Matesih, Karanganyar, Central Java. That was today in history.
Rintik demi rintik membasahi muka bumi saat itu penuh dengan payung seketika jas hujan dicari-cari semua orang inginkan teduh. Berpindah hati.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
All nations are competing to get the investment in cutting-edge technology. That was stated by President Joko Widodo in the National Working Meeting on Family Development, Population and Family Planning Strategy, as well as the Stunting Eradication Acceleration Program in Jakarta on Wednesday. According to the President, not only on a global level, in the meeting of countries that control 85% of the world's economy in the G20 Forum, the neighboring nations in Southeast Asia are competing tightly to seize investment and technology. He further affirmed that manpower quality improvement is a crucial key to grow the nation's competitiveness value to attract investment and build technology. Because of the importance of Indonesian manpower, the President asked the National Population and Family Planning Agency, BKKBN, to do their duty well in maintaining the growth balance and family quality improvement. President Joko Widodo admitted building a quality family is not easy. However, he believed 1.2 million trainers at BKKBN and their assistants can do that. President Joko Widodo also warned about the danger of stunting children to build a quality family. He said that stunting may result in bad learning ability on children, mental retardations, and chronic disease on children. Besides warning about the danger of stunting on children, the President wants all to join hands in eradicating stunting in Indonesia. President Joko Widodo added that the government depends on investment to maintain the economic recovery trend in 2023. He has also set the investment target in 2023 to reach 1.400 trillion rupiah and or increasing compared to 2022 with 1.200 trillion rupiah. With such investment support, Indonesia targets the economic growth to reach 5.3% in 2023.
Telah ada dan hiasi hari-hari di dalam hidupku. Mauku kau tak pergi dari aku, bisa mencintai selalu hingga akhir aku. Cinta, jangan kau curangi aku dengan rahasiamu. Cinta, jangan kau hianati aku dengan janjimu. Cinta, jangan
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Okol Wrestling. Listener, Indonesia has pencak silat as a traditional martial art. In East Java, there is a wrestling martial art which is also popular, namely Okol Wrestling. The Okol Wrestling tradition is often performed in Madura, Surabaya, and Gresik, East Java. The wrestling Okol start from the activities of residents when herding their livestock. While waiting for the buffalo, cows, and goats to find food in the rice fields, the herders spend their free time by wrestling on straw. Now, in Madura, the Okol Wrestling is performed to accompany some events such as the Dove Race event, the Battle event or Keket or Okol. The event is too big for rain. Meanwhile, in Surabaya and Gresik, this tradition is presented in every almsgiving celebration. It is a form of gratitude for the crops obtained by the farmers. Listener, this wrestling ritual was originally held in a rice field area. However, now the Okol Wrestling is held on a stage with mats made of gunny sack in which there is straw at the bottom. The wrestling arena is 6 meters times 8 meters. It is made like a boxing ring with two corners. Around the stage there is a large rope. One fight is done by two wrestlers. Each wrestler is distinguished by a red and black headband and belt. They fight two rounds. One player is declared victorious if he succeeds in knocking down his opponent and his position is at the top. Those who win two rounds in a row will be fought against another winner until a champion is obtained. In its implementation, the traditional wrestling is divided into three categories, namely children, adolescents, and adult men and women. Not just playing, the Okol Wrestling fights also apply some rules to avoid negative impacts. The rules that are not allowed in the Okol Wrestling fights are neither punching nor injuring the opponent by twisting one's legs, including gripping the opponent by using nails that may cause injury. Therefore, before the fight starts, the participants must be checked for their readiness and condition. Then, to accompany the Okol Wrestling performances on stage, the local villagers usually play gamelan. The sound of the gamelan being played enlivens the fight that is taking place. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Sekian lama terapung di sebuah pelayaran, mencari dermaga hati untukmu menepi. Sudahkah kau temui? Datanglah kepadaku. berlabuhlah di hatiku, beristirahatlah, sandarlah padaku, nikmatilah kasihku, ku kan setia menemani, akulah yang kau cari. Terlalu lama sendiri, tak ada tujuan. Engkau butuh dermaga hati untukmu menepi. Sudahkah kau temui? Datanglah kepadaku, lihatlah aku di sini, berlabuhlah di hatiku, beristirahatlah, bersandarlah padaku, nikmatilah kasihku, ku kan setia menemani. Akulah yang kau cari. Kamu cari, datanglah kepadaku, lihatlah aku di sini, berlabuhlah di hatiku, beristirahatlah, bersandarlah padaku, nikmatilah kasihku, ku kan setia menemani. Akulah yang kau cari. Padaku, lihatlah aku di sini, berlabuhlah di hatiku.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany.
Miscellany for today has a topic: primary school student from East Nusa Tenggara wins international math competition. Listeners, Kaisar Archangels Hendrik Miut Tunai, a second grader from East Nusa Tenggara, NTT, won as the first champion in the International Abacus World Competition 2022. International World Competition 2022 is the global level of math and abacus competition organized by International Abacus Brain Gym, ABG. The student nicknamed No defeated 7,000 other participants from across the globe. He was the only Indonesian to win as the first champion since the ABG was founded in 2003. In the event, Nono was asked some problems by the judge. He answered the questions quickly and correctly, only in seconds. Nono finished 15,201 files with 10 questions in each file. So in 1 year, he can finish 152,010 problems in the form of virtual and listening materials in English. Meanwhile, the second winner was from Qatar with 7,502 files, and the third was from the US with 6,138 files. Nono got a trophy certificate and $200. Earlier, he also won the Math Olympiad at the school. That's Miss Seleni.
Terlintas menemukanmu hangat kan dinginnya duniaku di setiap hari terasa indah melebihi semua mimpi dan anganku.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to present an original song entitled Curug Gawang. This song narrates the beauty of a waterfall called Curug Gawang, which is located in Sindangkerta District, Bandung Regency, West Java Province. The tear of the water sound falling from a height. The clean water and the cool air make this waterfall a favorite place for local people to spend their free time and also take care of the beauty of the waterfall area. Here is Nurul Cahyani with the original song entitled Curug Gawang.
Thank you. China.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dalamnya lautan akan kuwarungi, gunung yang menjulang pastikan ku daki.
Rintangan yang datang
menghadapi cobaan,
yakin
Bye. senja selalu sempurna. Seperti kisahku dan dia, saling menatap tapi jarang. Dia membisu melayang. Ku cinta kau,
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.